And with the help you get from ASC certified technician Dan Burns, we'll keep that vehicle running for you. If you have any kind of a car care question, you want to talk with this guy, Dan Burns, who is with Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
You have a good week?
It was a good week. I said it was, didn't feel all that busy, but it was good. It was, it worked out.
That's good. Yeah. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, yeah.
Not very often where we get to walk out at the end of the day and everything's done. You know, usually there's stuff carried
over. The feeling of accomplishment,
right.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah. It is. Usually there's stuff, we didn't quite
left
get to
over.
It. We'll finish it tomorrow.
Yeah. Dan has been with us for many, many years here on CCO, and if you have any issues with your vehicle, car, truck, or van, and you want to bring it into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, but you want to know what the heck is going on with this thing, at least Dan might give you some insight on what may be the case with your vehicle. And as we've said a thousand times, that's better. At least you're walking in with some information that may help the technician, may help the service writer, whatever the case may be. You know, get to it. Don't hide anything.
Oh, that's right. That does not help.
It doesn't help anybody.
Find it anyway. It just costs you more.
That's right. Let me give you the phone number and the text number. We are already starting to get calls. So don't wait. Dan will be here for about another 30 minutes or so till Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. If you have a question, by all means, please call us or send Dan a text if that's easier. Phone number 651-989-9226. Or you can send Dan a text 81807. A text came in, let's see if I can find it, 9 hours ago, Dan. So they were ready for your show today. The car care question. I vacuumed my 2015 Mazda and found two dead mice under the seats. How are they getting in during the winter?
Yeah, that's troubling. That's troubling. We have spent an awful lot of time and an awful lot of customers' money looking for mice that have climbed in the car and perished and of course started to smell. So it can be they get into the heater box and your car is, as much as you think it's sealed,
it's got holes in it.
It has holes in it. And one place that is for sure is where the air comes in by the wiper blades. That's where the air for the heat system comes in. And it's built with a series of waterfalls and drains and so forth, so the water doesn't get into the car, but just the air does. And the mice certainly find their way through there. Sometimes they have to chew through a little something to get there, but it's a big deal, and it's very damaging because oftentimes they'll start chewing on little plastic or rubber lines that are vacuum lines for your evaporative system, or they'll chew through wires. We've certainly seen that where they, I don't know if they like to sharpen their teeth or whatever, but they'll chew right through a wire and with computer technology and you chew through one wire and then give me the task of trying to find it where I can't get, he got, and I can't get there. It can be a big problem.
Well, I know you guys at Lloyd's and you personally have worked on my daughter's car because she doesn't want to kill any mice. You know, she's one of those folks that the cute little mouse, but they can do, and a friend of mine has had thousands of dollars worth because of the mice getting into the garage.
Right. Well, I had it where it actually totaled a guy's.
No kidding.
He had a fancy sports car, and they could never get the smell out of it, and
yo,
so it totaled it. But at any rate, the trick is to, I'm sure that's the real question, how are they getting in and what do I do about it, is the trick is to prevent it. And we've talked about there's some of these scented things that mice don't like. If you're storing a car, which is where usually when it happens is if the car sits. So if you're storing it, put some of that in and around the car, some of those scented things that they don't like. And most importantly, don't give them anything to eat or drink in your garage.
Oh, good point. No bird seed,
no bird seed, no dog food. All of that sort of stuff is why they're there. And then they find that your warm car is a great place to nest. And you don't want that to happen. So take away the food, take away the water. Just like anyone else, they'll go home.
If there's nothing to eat or drink.
Nothing to eat or drink, they'll go home.
Now, you remember when, because Tony's SUV is parked outside all the time, that a year, well, it was a couple of years ago now, that you had, you were given the task of, and I cleaned out as much as I could of a squirrel nest.
Yeah.
That was that critter did a lot of damage.
Same thing. We find them every week.
Do you really? Yeah, every week.
They often, you know, when you look at the engine on your car, it's all covered in this beautiful plastic.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty underneath there. Well, they think that's a great place to put a nest.
It's like a tent.
Under those plastic things. And, you know, the intake manifold is warm when they get there. And so they take it, and then they go through the garage and pull out the insulation and whatever else they need to make their bed, and they store it all underneath your car.
So, yeah, they're quite industrious.
Yep, they really are. So take away the food. That's the real trick.
Food and water. All right, Dan, hang on. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to folks on the line. If you have any kind of a car care question, now is your chance. We'll come back and talk to folks on the phone and pick up on the text messages as well. Phone number 651-989-9226. Or send a text, 81807. It's overcast. It's 30 degrees on CCO. Cloudy today, high near 39. Tomorrow, sunshine at 43. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, where the snow is melting. There's still snow in the shade.
It's a slow melter.
It's a slow melt this year, that's for sure. But plenty of snow yet around. But we're at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give Jim a call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. All right, Dan, we have callers. We have texters as well. So let's put you to work here. Chuck in St. Louis Park is first up here. Chuck, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
I have a 2007 Camry with 293,000 miles on it, and it happened to have a recall at 262, and they put in new pistons and rings, so it's running good. I had it in the garage this week, and all the warning lights were basically on, or most of them, and they felt that it was an issue with a catalytic converter, which is an expensive repair. Can I continue to run it? I mean, it's almost 300,000 miles, and how dangerous is it to run it with an issue with a catalytic converter? Thanks.
Well, the lights are on because it probably has a code that is PO420, which is catalytic converter efficiency code. And what it's telling you is that catalytic converter is not as efficient as it used to be. And for environmental purposes, they want you to do something about that. The reason your catalytic converter failed probably is because your rings and valves failed, so it was burning oil at times, and that's hard on a catalytic converter. But at any rate, I know they're expensive to repair. One thing that you could do if you wanted to go after a repair is they sell aftermarket catalytic converters, and they're relatively inexpensive, and they've gotten better. Used to be I'd never recommend them because they didn't work very well, but they've gotten better. So that's one thing that you might check into is there an aftermarket converter that will do the job for you. As far as can you drive it with the catalytic converter the way it is, yes, you can. The only risk is if the catalytic converter gets bad enough, it will actually melt down and turn into a big glob, and that'll plug your exhaust. And we've seen that. We've seen that from time to time. But it's low risk. If the car's running fine and you want to drive with all the lights on, you know, with 300,000 miles, who wouldn't understand that?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
All right, Chuck, there you go. Dave, in the meantime, is calling from Apple Valley. Dave, you're on with Dan.
Good morning, Dan. I have a 2011 Ford Flex, and I have an HID headlight that every so often will go out, and then I'll turn the lights on and off and back on again, and then it'll go back on again. And the question I guess I have for you, is that a sign that's going to burn out eventually, or is that like a short in there, or what do you think?
Yeah, I probably would change that bulb because a failing bulb like that is hard on the ballast, and the bulb, while it's expensive, is cheaper than the ballast or, you know, the process of replacing the ballast. So my recommendation is go ahead and change that bulb, before it completely fails, because it can do more damage along the way.
Oh, okay. Very good. 651-989-9226. Text 81807. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till about 7:45 or so. So keep that in mind. Text, folks, let's get some text messages, Dan. Here's one. I replaced the side warning sensor. This, by the way, is a 2013 Buick Verona. I replaced the side warning sensor. The system still does not work. Does it have to be reprogrammed?
They usually don't have to be reprogrammed, although if you brought it in and had it checked and found out the code and went after the repair and did that yourself, that's great. But at the minimum, it needs to go in and have the computer reset, have the warning codes cleaned out, the diagnostic codes cleaned out of, or cleared out of it, because it won't work if there's a failure stored in its memory. So because it's a safety thing, at the very minimum, it needs to be reset. If that repair didn't do it, if you reset it and that code comes right back, then there's something else wrong, like a wiring or a connector or something like that that'll need some attention.
All right. Jim's calling from Egan this morning. Jim, you're on CCO with Dan.
Dan, I have a 2016 Buick Enclave. And a lot of times I sit in my Enclave and I listen to my stereo. And, you know, I have it on the accessory. And all of a sudden I'll get a low battery start engine signal. Isn't there about a 90-minute reserve on my battery?
Well, no.
And this comes on about a minute, about 5 minutes after I shut the engine off.
Yeah, that's very common. And the warning, of course, is very conservative. It's going to tell you that that the battery has dropped below a level that it's comfortable with to be able to restart the vehicle. And so, you know, what it's telling you is start the vehicle so that the alternator keeps the battery recharged. On a 2016, I would think the battery would still be good. That's not very old. But like I say, the warning system is going to be very conservative. So if you just want to ignore that warning for a little while, I'm sure not 90 minutes, but if it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I'm sure you'll be just fine. But beyond that, you probably want to start the vehicle and let it idle while you're listening to the stereo, and then the battery will stay recharged.
Oh, okay.
So
very good. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
A texter says this, we're talking about critters getting into the vehicle and doing damage. Granddaughter's car was parked outside one night, and a squirrel ate through the wiring for her starter.
Yeah.
The mechanic said it was mice. He said, Not with such big drop. I don't think it's mice, but squirrels will do that too.
They
obviously,
will. Yeah. They all those rodents like to chew squirrels or chipmunks. Chipmunks we've seen too.
I'm sure you have. Yeah, now, so. Chad from Stillwater said sent a suggestion via text. A cat will keep the mice away, but I'm not sure if, especially if you're storing a vehicle, how often do you put the cat in?
Well,
do you leave it overnight?
Put the cat in the garage, and you know,
hunt.
In the day, there used to be feral cats running around the neighborhoods cats and dogs and all that sort of stuff, and it made a big difference with keeping the rodent population down.
I bet
down.
It did, yeah.
But now that we're too kind for any of that.
We are indeed. Tell you what, Dan, let's take a quick break. We have more show to come, but Dan, again, will be here till Jack Farrell time, about 7:45, so don't wait. You want to send a text, if that's easier, 81807. We've got more time for your text messages, and we'll pick up on those. In the Twin Cities right now, 30 degrees. We'll have a look at weather coming up. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, who will be with us another 8-10 minutes or so from right now. I have a bunch of text messages too, Dan, I want to forget about. Here's one. I have a 2010 Nissan Sentra. This always happens in the 20 to 30 degree temp and snowing. The car will periodically jerk. This has been going on for 2 winters. Well, last week the engine light came on, so I brought it to an AutoZone so they could read the code. It indicated it was the evaporative valve. Now the engine light went off. Would this be causing the jerking?
No, not at all. The evaporative system could be as simple as your gas cap was loose. So if the check engine light came on because your gas cap was loose, you filled it up with gas and got the cap tight this time, and the system continues to do self-tests, and the second time that it did its self-test, it passed the test. That's why the light went off.
Oh, I see.
The misfire, which I'm assuming is the jerking that you're feeling, you probably need to take that in and have that checked and figure out what that is, because you know, driving a car with a misfire can cause lots of other problems.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So you don't want that to happen. So I would, as before winter's over and you don't have to worry about it till next year, or maybe that's the answer. Don't worry about it till next year. But you don't want to drive the vehicle jerking like
yeah.
that. That's a bad idea.
All right, get it in. Texter says this: I have a 2007 Lexus RX. After shutting the car, tick-tick sound comes and emergency lights are on for a while. Then they go away after 30 seconds. What could be the problem?
Well, there's something not shutting down like it's supposed to, and that the fact that it's ticking like that says, I don't know if a relay is staying powered up or what's going on, but if it is a relay, the relay on many of the styles of relays, they're a metal set of contacts, and if those contacts start to get burned, because every time they touch and untouch, there's a spark, so they kind of melt away, if you will, after a period of time, that surface can get rough, and that rough surface can get to where they stick.
Hmm.
And so the relay gets de-energized, and those contacts are supposed to come apart, and they don't. They're stuck for a little while, and
okay.
the spring eventually gets them to come apart, but at any rate, I'm worried that if you don't do something about it, that is eventually going to go to where it stays powered up continuously, and of course your battery will go dead. And next time you come out, you won't be able to start the car.
So what should the texters tell the technician or the service writer?
While it's acting up, they should bring it in and show them
okay.
what it's doing. You know, because that's certainly not normal. When
yeah.
you turn the key off, everything's supposed to shut
yeah.
off. If
yeah.
something's not shutting off, then but just go in and you know, say, can you come out and let me show you what my car is doing, because it doesn't feel normal to me. And they'll agree with you, and it's probably something simple. But you'll need to get some professional.
Well, let's
help
hope it is
that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says, my windshield wipers decided to park in the middle of the window. Any suggestions? Have you ever seen that?
I have seen that, and usually it's the wiper motor itself. There's a set of gears in there that depending upon where you have the switch set, the gears are in a certain position, and when you switch it to the off position, they're supposed to switch into a different gear and continue running until they land in the park position, and yours aren't doing that.
Hmm.
That's actually one of the first classes that the kids at school take is on wipers, because as you can imagine, that electronically, that's pretty complicated, that to get everything to turn on and off and continue to run, but not continue to run too long and all of that. So
yeah.
it's an interesting wiring study on wiper blades. They're on a wiper motor.
Motor.
Yeah, they're hard to understand.
Speaking of wipers, I know you and I have addressed that issue before, and I've learned that in this case, you do get what you pay for, because I know some wipers are pretty expensive, but I tell you what, after we had a couple of wipers changed, wow, what
yeah,
a difference.
Well, and you know, they get bad gradually, so you drive
yeah,
with these bad wipers
true.
And the bad glare and the streaks forever, and then you put them on, the new ones on, and it's like, wow. But I agree. In fact, I'm shocked by the price of them sometimes. and there's a million different wipers now. You know,
yeah.
it used to be they were all the same shape, and the only difference was the length of them.
Yep.
And now they're not, and the ones with the really complicated hookup are really expensive.
Yep.
So
they are.
Anyway, beware of that.
But
and
they do.
And
work.
Don't be surprised when it happens.
Yeah. It's the sticker shock
yeah,
for
the
wipers.
Sticker shock, yeah.
Texter says, is it best to stay with one brand of oil for the life of the vehicle like the one Denny does?
Well, Denny does do that, and so, of course, every idea Denny has is a good idea.
That's what you unless I'm
do.
Saying that at home, of course.
You know, it's not necessary.
No.
I do, too, and I don't know if it's a coincidence or if it's just that I choose that brand of oil. It's actually probably the first brand of oil that I ever sold, and so I'm satisfied with it, and it's worked well all of my career. But
well, you said it before, if you've been using conventional oil, whatever that is these days,
right.
and you change it regularly, you're okay. And if you use
right.
synthetic regularly, you're okay.
You're okay. Oil change intervals are a little bit longer on the synthetic.
That's true.
And so the price is probably exactly the same, net. And so I think as long as you change it like you're supposed to, you'll do just fine. I've said this before, Danny, and it's true. I've never seen a failed engine that was not lack of maintenance, that was not either, the oil was low or gone or something else caused it. But if you maintain your engine, maintenance, that the lubrication is not what's going to cause your car to fail. Something else will engine to fail. Right.
Last week, Texter says, you discussed a text concerning the manual use of the automatic transmission and cautioned against its use. However, isn't that why it's available, i.e. to assist the braking on an off-ramp or when descending a steep mountain grade? I use this whenever driving in the mountains. We're talking about automatic transmission. It has you have an ability to shift up and down.
Yeah. There must have been a misunderstanding, because I use mine in the mountains, too.
Oh, you do?
And you have to. When you're going up and down the mountains, you need to shift your vehicle out of overdrive and into drive, because there's simply not enough power, and the engine keeps, or the transmission just keeps shifting back and forth, and that's a problem. Or if you're hauling a trailer or hauling a big load, you need to shift the vehicle out of overdrive. So yes, I agree. That is what it's for. Now, I think what we were talking about is it necessary to do it regularly?
Right, because the texter last week missed the manual transmission. He or she wanted to use it.
And I think my answer is, if you want to play with it, go ahead. That is what it's made for.
But it's also been designed to be an automatic transmission.
Right. But a lot of the cars, the sports cars now will have paddle shifting on an automatic transmission.
Where you can
put it into the manual mode and go ahead and do it. That's what it's made for. That's great.
Go.
So thank you for that. So I can clarify what I meant.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah. Let's see. 2006. So we have a minute. Yeah, we have. We're just about out of time. 2006 Chrysler Town & Country. Oil light on, but oil level is fine. Changed oil approximately 1,000 miles ago. What else should I check?
Well, the next thing is you'll have to take it in and get some help, because what the shop will do is take the oil pressure switch out of the vehicle, put in a mechanical gauge, test the oil pressure. If the oil pressure is accurate and good, then they'll probably put a new switch in right away, which a really good chance that'll take care of the problem. If that does not take care of the problem, then they'll have to go a little bit further. And it's not that there's a problem with the engine, but there's a problem with the warning light. And they'll have to figure out why the warning light is not working.
One last question, then we got to go. Wheel weights won't stay put on an aluminum wheels on a Honda van. Any ideas?
Yeah, what we do is we'll add a little bit of additional glue to them. Mm. We'll we call it RTV. It's just a silicone glue, and we'll put a little more glue on them, and then the weights will stay on. And somebody told me if you're using the sticky weights, the ones that have tape on the back of them, if you just warm them up a little bit before you stick them on, that helps too.
Oh, that makes sense.
But at any rate, add a little bit more adhesive to the two ends of the weight, and it'll stay on just fine.
We have to go. We'll see you next week. And what's the phone number for Lloyd's?
Give us a call today at 651-228-1316.
Dan, next week, more car care.
We'll be here.
Thanks very much.